And when you talk about openly acknowledging to the public that we will give the Ukraine not only provide the weapons, but tell them it's okay to fire these high-tech weapons into Russia.
Well, hello there, my friends. Chris Marcus here with you for Arcadia Economics in what is already shaping up as a rather action-packed week in the precious metals world. And who better to discuss that with than my dear friend, Mr. Andy Scheckman of Miles Franklin Precious Metals, who gives us our weekly physical silver report, which I suppose this year has morphed into a weekly physical and COMEX gold and silver report, as well, obviously, they're always connected, and certainly a lot happening. Well, it started with gold first earlier this year, then flowed into silver. So nice to see that silver has finally caught up and outperformed at this point for what that is worth. And to dig into that and all of the latest developments, Andrew is back here with us. So, Andrew, how are you today?
I'm good, my man. Good to see you again, Chris. Yeah, silver's run and rally has been impressive, to say the least, over the last several weeks. And, you know, they always told us that gold goes first and silver goes further, at least in terms of percentage. And I would argue we haven't even begun to see what silver's real potential is. I think it is extraordinarily undervalued on every metric, geologically, historically, and in the way that it's needed and accumulated around the globe in green and digital and military applications, let alone, you know, really since 2020, a monetary renaissance around the globe. So far from over, this book. And I think there's a whole lot of interesting chapters ahead as to where it ultimately goes. But happy to run shotgun with you and talk to you about it in what I believe will be the craziest year of our lives. And, you know, it's been nutty already, but nothing like what I think we will see as the election approaches and the big BRICS meeting the month before.
Well, speaking of which, there's a chance we may dig into one or two of those items today. Although first, quick look at the silver price as we record on Monday afternoon. We can see up a little bit to start the week, up at 30.75. Quick look at gold while we're here, 23.69. And certainly some of the reasons driving gold and silver, which we've been talking about over past months, but we'll get back into today. And Andy, I think we may have showed this a couple of weeks ago, although when I think about how gold and silver started rallying even higher for longer, Fed not necessarily doing anything, was at the time when we started to see increased talk about seizing and taking the frozen Russian assets. I thought this was wild. Here's the Department of State putting out a tweet. Congress has given us the power to seize the Russian assets, and we intend to use it. And here from Anthony Blinken, a nice picture, what Putin destroyed, Russia must pay to rebuild. All right, I'll leave my thoughts on that aside, but to the degree that people are concerned about their money and the safety of their money, I think it makes its point. Now, flash forward to last week. This was a bit stunning. Biden gives Ukraine permission to use U.S. weapons to strike inside Russia. Wow, that's a bit of a big step, especially it seems almost as if everything Putin says, if you do this, such as putting NATO troops inside Ukraine, then watch out. So it's almost like everything that Russia talks about being a fine line, I'm not trying to take a political side here, but just pointing out that the U.S. is doing exactly that. This, even aside from gold and silver, I mean, is a very scary precedent to see escalating. And curious any thoughts you have on that as the tensions, sure seems like both sides are dug in their heels and are moving towards a very specific outcome. Hopefully I'm wrong about that, but love to know what you're thinking about.
It's pure insanity, Chris. It's one thing, it's bad enough the world reserve currency would have the audacity to sanction another country. That's not the role of the world reserve currency. It's not for us to decide who can and can't use it, especially when much of the world finds us hypocritical, where we've given $200 billion to the Ukraine with nary any congressional oversight, and can have the audacity to say to China, if you give any money to Russia, we're going to sanction your banks, your companies in Beijing itself. We're okay with you being friends. Well, thank you, Madam Secretary. That's great. But point of it is that we're hypocritical, and it is not our position to sanction. It's a whole nother thing to confiscate. And at that point, you've broken the glass into a million pieces. You'll never put it back together, ever. You have destroyed, in essence, all the trust that we, the goodwill and the trust that we have accumulated over last 100 years. We've destroyed it with one fell swoop, and no one, especially in the Southern Hemisphere, will ever trust us again. And when you talk about openly acknowledging to the public that we will give the Ukraine not only provide the weapons, but tell them it's okay to fire these high-tech weapons into Russia, we've lost our damn mind. And you put all politics aside, I don't care which side of the aisle would be idiotic enough to do something like this. It's just plain out stupidity. And we should have all listened to Thomas Jefferson when he said, stay the hell out of everyone else's affairs. We should have brought every one of these troops home, closed the 700 or whatever military bases we have in 80 countries around the world, bring all these people home to build up our infrastructure and to protect our borders and stop meddling in other people's affairs. And this is something, you're messing with one of the largest nuclear arsenals on the planet and putting someone, pushing them against a wall when you're setting, you know, saying that Finland and Sweden and the Ukraine talking about NATO and giving bad enough to give military aid and to provide money and intelligence and all of the things that, well, we don't have boots on the ground, right? Well, now we're doing the next best thing or the next worst thing and giving them high-tech weaponry and the okay to fire them into Russia. It's insanity. It's truly insane. This country and its leaders, rather, have lost their mind as far as I'm concerned. And it's far more distressing to me, the things that our leaders have done, both inside the country and destabilizing it in every way that we all know about, and doing this idiotic stuff, than any of the monetary and fiscal ills that the Federal Reserve or the you know, addiction to spending federal government has. We could get by that if we were still the country that was still revered and respected by the rest of the world. We're losing our respect, we're losing our trust, and we're losing our minds. And unfortunately, there's a lot of concern and rightfully so to be scared about this. And you know, it's not understating it to say you're scared. I think everyone would be scared if they understand exactly. I don't think many people even have read that article. It's the first I've heard of it. The fact that that's happening is just mind-boggling to me, Chris.
Well, don't get too excited yet, because there's more. As our next one, this was actually, I've been had this up on my computer. I've been meaning for us to get to this. This is back at the end of April, but Wall Street Journal, Trump allies draw up plans to blunt the Fed's independence. Some interesting quotes here as we take a look. The group of Trump allies, and again, I will preface this when people are reporting about Trump's team, not saying it came from him directly and just as being reported, argues that he should be consulted on interest rate decisions, and the draft document recommends subjecting Fed regulation to White House review, forcefully using the Treasury Department as a check on the central bank. Scroll down here. Under such an approach, the chair would regularly seek Trump's views on interest rate policy and then negotiate with the committee to steer policy on the president's behalf. Some of the former president's advisors have discussed requiring candidates for the Fed chair privately agree to consult informally with Trump on the central bank decisions. And this one, others have made the case that Trump himself could sit on the Fed's board of governors on an acting basis. Thoughts on that one?
I think it's insanity. We'd be better off getting rid of the Fed altogether than to doing that, because if Trump has his way, he would, you know, push interest rates back to where they were. He'd put the federal funds rate at zero and effectively destroying the dollar. And there's supposed to be separation between the Fed and the government. But look, the bottom line is that since the Fed's inception, the currency has lost 98-99% of its value. The Fed should be abolished. The Fed should be audited and then abolished. And but tying it that closely to the government is not a good idea either. And especially when, you know, at least Trump is a businessman and understands the correlation between interest rates and the economy. you get some knucklehead in there like our current president, and who knows where monetary policy would lead when you're the most powerful bank on the planet, or maybe the second most behind the BIS. Yeah, I think it's insanity to do that. I think we'd be better off just abolishing and getting rid of the Fed altogether.
Well, let me come back to that in a moment. But first, this other one, which I think I had shared this on Twitter. I believe we've talked about it on the show as well. But Trump trade advisors plot dollar devaluation.
Of course they are.
And this one, interesting. Currency revaluation is likely to be a priority for some members of a potential second Trump administration. Again, this article pointed out what I just mentioned of sometimes that's members of his team, not necessarily him. So,
well, that'd be great for the price of gold and silver. And that's exactly what they'd want to do. I mean, how else do you pay, $35 trillion in debt and $150 trillion in unfunded liabilities? You devalue the currency. You monetize the debt, in essence. And that's obvious what they would like to do. But here again, as the world reserve currency, you destroy it. So all of these ideas, I think it's late in the game. We've gone too far down the road as the world reserve currency to do these kinds of actions. No one is going to want to finance our debt when we will choose inflation over austerity, when we will choose the printing press and the devaluation of the dollar in order to pay off the debt. And it just destroys the value of the bond market, destroys the value of the dollar. Why would anyone want to hold it long term when we are choosing to devalue the dollar? But this is not a new concept. That's what Roosevelt did in 33. He confiscated people's gold and then devalued the dollar by 40%. And I think that's a high probability, and in essence, this is what the head banker at the Dutch National Bank said: we should revalue the price of gold. In essence, you devalue the currency against gold. It's not you're revaluing gold, you're devaluing your currency. Yeah, I think that's exactly what they would want to do. He also said he would impose sanctions on countries that want to move away from the dollar and align with the BRICS, as an example. I mean, you can't continue to go around the world making these kinds of decisions. And I think that's what is spurring on the group of the BRICS and the 36 more countries that have formally applied. I think that the way that the U.S. does things is getting long in the tooth. And when you have accumulated as much debt as we have, most of it at the lowest interest rates in human history, to continue to go back to that, again, you will destroy all confidence in the Fed. You will destroy all confidence in the dollar and blow up the bond market. Who in their right mind would ever want to trust us again if we do these kinds of things? But it is what he will do, I think.
And one other interesting note the article mentions here, Robert Lighthizer frequently brought up currency devaluation during Trump's first term. And Trump even reportedly squashed a dollar devaluation proposal from Navarro during White House meeting, as Politico reported in 2019. So just something to keep an eye on there. And Andrew, you mentioned the BRICS. And sure enough, we did have some BRICS news coming out here recently, because last week, the Reserve Bank of India repatriated 100 tons of gold from the United Kingdom to its vaults. And then also there was the report Vince Lancey mentioned on Monday's morning program, World Gold Council reporting that India has purchased more gold in the first quarter of 2024 than the entire 2023. We also talked about the potential of the unit that could be the currency that the BRICS are moving forward. There have been reports that that is now on the BRICS Business Council agenda. And obviously, one of the countries that's involved in the BRICS is India. And I'm guessing it wasn't just, they finished playing solitaire in the afternoon and picked today, like, oh, let's talk about buying gold or repatriating gold. I think it's unlikely that it's completely unconnected with the other things happening in the world, but I'm sure you have thoughts on that one too.
Well, not only have they purchased 1.5 times the amount of gold they did in the first, just in the first 4 months of this year, than they did all of last year. Remember, I think they bought somewhere in the neighborhood of 400 million ounces of silver last year, and their silver imports in the first 4 months of 2024 have surpassed all of what they did in 2023. So yeah, it's no coincidence. And when you see massive gold purchase, massive silver purchase, and then repatriating their gold from the Bank of England, it's a big deal. It's part and parcel of what we just talked about. It's that the West has lost its trust. You talk about the 5 billion in assets that are being held in the US, the Russian assets, there's almost 290 or 95 billion, somewhere 280, 290 billion head in the Europe, held in the European Union. And they're trying to do the same thing. The last I heard is they want to take all the interest that is held that is occurring or accruing from the bonds and assets that they've confiscated or sanctioned or frozen, and take those proceeds, just the interest, which amounts to a few billion a year, and give it to the Ukraine as well. The European Union's lost their mind. And so when India buys all that gold and silver, that's, I think, a natural reaction. It becomes more so when you see them bring all their gold back quietly from the Bank of England. Give us back our gold. We don't trust you any longer. We don't trust that you're going to hold it the way that we want. And if we don't align ideologically, you guys in the West have proven and shown your colors that, just like, I don't remember what was it, Venezuela, that wanted to get their gold back from the Bank of England. They said, no, sorry, can't have it. So I think when you talk about gold and silver being assets that are not someone simultaneously someone's liability, it's very true, unless it's held in the vaults of the Bank of England or the New York Fed. We've seen the same thing happen here in the United States, where Saudi Arabia and several other African and Arab states have repatriated their gold from the New York Fed recently. And before that, we saw the Dutch National Bank, the Bank of Austria, Hungary, Turkey, Poland, they all did the same thing following the Bundesbank's lead in 2010 and 11. Excuse me, that would have been 2017 and 18. So repatriating of gold and silver is not a new trend, but it's one that is accelerating, as is the accumulation of assets. And this is why, you asked me offline the other day if I had any empirical evidence that countries were using or settling in gold instead of treasuries. And it just seems to me very obvious that these countries are shedding treasuries because of the sanction risk, the geopolitical risk, the confiscation risk, the default risk, and using gold and silver as a substitute. And you can see that by the way they repatriate it, because it is not a liability. That it if you pay close enough attention, you can see that assets held by the West are truly a liability to these countries who are pushing back against the Western hegemony.
And you can also see it in this handy chart by one of my all-time favorites, Luke Gromin, who, geez, that man has been on a tear with some of the great information he's provided recently, including this chart showing in the blue line gold purchases by central banks going back to 2013 when the PBOC had said no longer in China's interest to grow FX reserves. And obviously, the orange line there is treasuries. So, can another way of putting in visual perspective what you were mentioning there. And Andrew, one note, just wanted to make sure something was accurate. You mentioned India and their silver, which I was going to get to because in addition to first 3 months purchasing more gold than all of 2023, in silver, they have in the first 3 months purchased more silver or imported more silver than all of 2023, although it was 2022 that was the record-setting year, and that came in at 300 million ounces. So we're not past, although the current pace of 2024 would beat the record of 2022. So if that makes sense. And
Well, no, you're always good at that. I sometimes will look at the big picture and skip over the minutia, but you're good at bringing me back in line with that. And I look, they've purchased almost 600 million ounces in the past 2.5 years. Let's put it to you that way. They are voraciously accumulating silver, and I don't think that we've seen anything yet. I really don't. And I think that this is why we're seeing the bankers show up at the Shanghai Metals Exchange. This is why we're seeing the bleed down in all of the exchanges. And I think there is a rush on for gold and silver. I think gold and silver have become, and commodities in general, have become more valuable than currency. And I think that's what this is. This is the Zoltan Pozsar, statement that this is Bretton Woods 3, that this is a system where you can see the drive to accumulate commodities is now moving into a higher gear, and so much so that they can't hold silver down at the end of a month. They can't bring it down below 30. So I'm not saying that it couldn't happen tomorrow, but what I am saying, it just seems that the whole system is playing under a new set of rules. I think that the potential for silver to go outperform people's expectations is huge. When it happens, I don't know. But when it does happen, the speed in which it moves, I think, will freak people out. Those people that have been lulled to sleep over its lack of movement and its counterintuitive movement, largely because of suppression, it's no different than suppressing interest rates and looking at all the distortions in asset prices. You distort the price of silver, suppress it, you get people just figuring it's a dead asset. And as you can see by India and China and all of the other countries accumulating it and repatriating it, and that it's not. And in fact, when it gets a chance to fully express itself, I think it will be quite something to see.
Well, that makes sense. And you also commented on some of the things that central banks look at: liquidity, sanction risk, and fortunately, it reminds me of something else I've had in my, I got my little inventory folder here as I read things I feel would be of note to the guests on the show and the audience, most importantly.
I'd love to steal that list when you're not looking.
Well, I've actually thought it'd be nice for us to create one together where anytime you or I see something of interest, see a lot of the good things you come across. And anyway,
spreadsheet me. Let's do it immediately. I love that because you always come up with these stories. And so let's do it.
Yeah.
I'll tell people there are a lot of stories that you have told me over the years where I heard from you. And a lot of it is the thesis that I've been carrying forward for last 4 years. And so, yeah, I love that.
A royalty bill on that one. So be careful.
And well deserved.
Although in either case, on one note, I think my favorite thing I found this year, and I think Vince actually found that, I'm sure many others did as well, but the Philadelphia Federal Reserve publishing a study on the gold standard was special, especially that they came to the conclusion that it works. Although right up there was that World Bank report on the hand guide to investing in gold for portfolio managers. And I took a couple screenshots and pulled them out. And there were a few here that really touched with what you were saying. And I'll read, according to the latest World Bank survey, the majority of central banks consider safety and liquidity to be highly relevant principles. On the other hand, only one third of the banks gave high relevance to income generation returns, while 65% considered it somewhat relevant. Although central banks hold foreign reserves that are crucial for their financial statements, generating returns not as important as maintaining safety and liquidity. I would imagine it wouldn't be incorrect to mix in a store of value where your assets actually hold their value rather than being withered away. And here was the other one. Typical central bank portfolios predominantly consist of fixed income invest instruments. Although here's the key part. When held in specific form and place, the gold has no credit, default, or political risk, conditions that no other traditional safe haven asset can offer. So again, I point these out because this is the World Bank saying it. It's not my opinion. Well, it is my opinion too. Although again, you see that the people playing with the big money are sharing that view.
Well, that's logical. And this is all about, I think, the trend that we are seeing. Inflation, sanctioning, confiscation, lack of trust. And I think we're moving out of a environment of promises and opaque debt instruments into one of transparency and tangibility and commodities in your possession. And that just would make sense. And it's the only way I think that you break free from this system is to have one that you expose the faults, you expose the lies, you expose the manipulation, and the government does it for us. I mean, or for them, by showing what happens if you don't fall in line with the West. And I think anyone would be out of their mind, really. I'll put it to you this way. I think that if you are not a contrarian right now, you're destined to be a victim. And I think if you hold all your assets in dollars, you're destined to go broke over time, whether it be through inflation or default or whatever it is. And I think when you buy gold and silver, you're not buying it to get wealthy. It is wealth. And you can see that the banks and the central banks in particular that are buying this are not just the wealthiest or the most well-informed traders in the world. And they know where things are going. They've been given the playbook. If you think that it's coincidence that in 2017, 18, and 19, all the banks that I mentioned, the Dutch National Bank, the Bank of Germany, the Bundesbank, Austria, Hungary, Turkey, all those banks as a group after repatriating their gold from the New York Fed in 2018 bought more gold as a group than they did in the 60 years previously combined and almost doubled it in 2019. And then, oh, by coincidence, the BIS reclassifies it as tier one. I got a bridge to sell you. Because they knew it was being reclassified tier one. The BIS obviously told them it was going to be reclassified. So these people, they are the most well-informed. And I think that's really the point that people need to understand, that central banks aren't buying gold and silver just for the hell of it. They're not shedding treasuries just for the hell of it. I think that they look at this as a new system that will be all about transparency and about things that they can hold in their hands, because we have, I think, in many respects, squandered the trust of the world. And that's not something you get back maybe ever, at least until you have some form of immutability and transparency. And that's where commodities and blockchain come into play. Don't know how it all works out, but I think that's where we are heading. And, you know, I listened to a very interesting interview with Jim Rickards, and he said something very interesting. He was talking about the BRICS common settlement currency, and he's like, you know, they haven't issued it yet, not because of really any other reason, but mass adoption, where you have a large enough swath. Well, you got 10 countries there now, and then another 36 that have formally applied, 20 plus that have informally. Because he was saying, look, you know, Russia's accumulated a lot of rupee trading with India, but, you know, other countries may not want rupees. But if you have a common settlement currency, you can trade with all of the countries and for all of their goods or services in a common settlement currency. You're not just having to take the local currencies. Until it's done, the empirical evidence would say that is what they are doing, taking the local currencies and then settling any excess in gold or commodities. And so I think we are getting to a point, and maybe October we see it, where they indeed do issue a common settlement currency. What's gold's role in it? Don't know. He seems to think gold will be pegged to it to some degree, won't be convertible. I've said that forever. He said that it would be maybe 20, 30, 40% backing, which I agree. And if you peg it using distributed ledger technology, 20 or 30 or 40% of whatever new currency unit, every new brick, and show the immutability of it, that it can't be inflated away like Trump wants to do by devaluing the dollar, then you inspire confidence. And what they are doing, look, for people not to give this real credibility is a mistake. You're talking larger swath of human population, larger swath of global GDP, two or three of the largest nuclear arsenals on the planet, the majority of all the energy production, the rare earth minerals, all of this stuff, they have a larger swath than we do. And you add more and more and more countries, throw in the Belt Road Initiative and the Eurasian Economic Union and the Shanghai Cooperation Organization, you're talking 8 or 9 out of every 10 people on the planet. This is not something to take lightly, but the one thing that they do that I marvel at and others get frustrated by is how they do things methodically. They are backfilling and dotting their I's and cross their T's. This is the little by little by little by little that drives people crazy. It's the Chinese water torture. But when they finally flip the switch, I believe it will be faster than people can imagine. And it will affect everything from currencies to interest rates to commodities, to our way of life. This is the whole mission that I have kind of stood in front of or behind, whichever way you want to look at it, for a long time now. I'm trying my hardest just to open people's eyes. I don't know how it all plays out, but when you see all of these things happening, and it's easy to see it in accumulation of gold and silver, because I believe it will be the cornerstone of any new system, primarily gold. I think you can see it's happening, and I think it's accelerating. So I guess only time will tell, but we're not that far off from the October meeting, where I think a lot of things will become more clear. But don't be frustrated by the way they do things. I think in the West, we do things stupid. We do things where instant gratification is not fast enough. We want to get rich quick. We want to game the system. They're doing things realizing this is their one shot. And if they're going to do it, they better be ready to do it in every way. And I think that's what they're doing. And I guess we'll see, but that's the way it appears to me. So all of these things that we talk about each week, as mundane as they seem, you put them all together. Yeah, you put them all together, and it's a much, much bigger deal, Chris. And I do believe that, man. I think it's going to be a crazy several weeks and months leading up to the October meeting and to the election in November. God willing, we get there. And that's another thing that I would urge people to go watch, the Color Revolution podcast by Glenn Beck that just came out on YouTube. It'll blow your mind when you see all of the Western-led organizations that have been behind every single uprising, from the Arab Spring to the college riots that we're seeing to now even this going on in Gaza, and they do it through social media and through the youth. And it's very interesting. It's really very interesting and very frightening. People should check it out. And then put it all together with the stuff we talk about and ask yourself, is this really real? It's the same thing with the Cloward Pivot. All of these little things that seem to be happening are accelerating. And hope I'm wrong, but I have a real, real sneaky feeling that I'm not wrong.
Yeah, well, I mean, how could you call these topics mundane, especially when we have your delivery? Even if I'm a little disappointed, you have a lot of good one-liners, although you haven't used my favorite in quite some time. You know which one I'm talking about? It's when you talk about feeling like a one-legged cowboy.
One-legged cowboy in an ass-kicking contest. Well, I owe that to Bill Holter. My brother Bill was the one who gave me that one. I always used to use the old stupid one.
That could bring drying paint to life.
Yeah.
Although, since you want something zesty and you're tired of how bricks are methodical and backing and filling step by step, for a little bit more of a rash approach that perhaps will inspire confidence in mining stock investors, here was an interesting one that came out last week. Unusual U.S. military cash transfer to Canadian mines. And again, perhaps as opposed to the
isn't that interesting
methodical approach, here we have Pentagon fears global unrest, shortage of raw materials, seeks to kickstart projects. Wish they had said now instead of here would have made my whole introduction of this
one. You know, the United Kingdom published a report earlier in the year saying that they've really screwed up because they are beholden to other countries like China and the Eurasian continent for much of the things that they need. And you can say the same thing here, that, you know, we're reliant on other countries for strategic elements. And you got groups in Canada that are trying to change, reclassify gold as strategic, not industrial.
Silver.
Silver, excuse me.
Interestingly, another note that I was ironically talking with someone about today, Keith Neumeyer mentioned that they also approached the U.S. about having it listed as a strategic mineral. And you know what the U.S. said?
What?
Probably not going to guess this one. They said that actually it should have been. It was, I think he said it was like a clerical error. This is what he told Keith or someone on their team, perhaps. But basically that the U.S. agreed that it should be, which I don't know if it's incorrect to extrapolate that in the next year's decision-making process that will go forward, but...
Whoa, that's crazy. I haven't heard that one.
But the highlighted section I have here, U.S. military has for the first time in generations spent public money on minerals projects inside Canada, nearly $15 million to mine and process copper, gold, graphite, cobalt. Although it might not be the last, officials expect additional cross-border announcements of under the more than a $500 million U.S. program. So, and then this last note, vital ingredients in an endless array of civilian and military products, medicine, batteries, electronics. And I'm thinking, gee, what else could fit into that category? And who
You're
knows?
Right. I mean, what's the common denominator in just about every one of those is silver. It's crazy. And it's so obvious, man. You don't have to be an economist or a genius to see the crumbs that are laid at our feet. Try to put them together and it becomes kind of a scary picture. But this is obvious, that when you're reliant upon other countries, why not choose Canada? I'm sure people in Canada are already furious at their government for selling all their gold and putting them in a bad position too. So yeah, I don't think this will be the last you hear of this story, but here again, I got to get on that Google spreadsheet with you because that's very intriguing and doesn't surprise me one bit.
I'm waiting to be able to use the headline, Janet Yellen and Pentagon and the US get long silver, when we have that development added to this story. So again, that
Boy, that'd
hasn't
be great.
happened
And I
yet.
think they'll call you from Fox News and ask you not, if CNN calls, tell them to pound sand, but Fox News will call you and ask you to give your 2 cents on that. And I hope you do. You deserve it.
Well,
You've
I'd probably give
been
them
the silver voice for a long time, man. And I know it's been a rough ride, but you'll be vindicated in the end because you're right. It's just the timing is tough in a manipulated environment.
perhaps I'll give them 2 non-copper cents, and also let them know the weekly special for Miles Franklin, where government can avoid dollar risk as well by getting into gold and silver, as suggested in the Philadelphia Federal Reserve's own research paper. But since we don't want to wait around on them, Andy, we have prices a little bit lower this week than last week. Interesting trading week it was. Yet in either case, for people who are looking to add gold or silver to their personal protection and investment stash, anything a good deal that they would be wise to look towards right now?
In terms of silver, yeah, we have the Silver Britannias at $3.15 over the price of silver over per ounce. And we also have extra fine $10 Liberties, which I love. And they're only $49 over their melt value, way under the price of a half ounce Gold Eagle. It's as inexpensive as I've sold them for maybe ever in my career. I love them. And then if people want some platinum, we have 10 ounce platinum Britannias at $59 over melt value on the 1/10 ounce platinum Britannia. So look, as I've been saying on your show now since December, with the exception of Silver Eagles, everything's on sale. Silver Eagles continue to inch higher and higher, but just about everything else, including 90% junk silver and all the other sovereign mints, seem to be ridiculously cheap to me compared to where they were the last 3 years. So, but in particular, the one silver special we have currently is the Silver Britannia 315 overspot.
Yeah, and I always thought the Britannias were actually a pretty nice coin in particular. Have a
They're
nice
pretty.
answer to them, and maybe I will get a few of those. And by the way, I know we have a great loyal fan in our audience,
Hi,
named,
Jake.
well, Jake is in there too. He'll be upset you said little by little, but no bang today. Yet our friend Neil, who loves silver and platinum. So hopefully that special on platinum will warm your heart, Neil. And Andrew, appreciate everything you shared. I guess we went a little longer than normal today, although I did tell you that we had action-packed episode and things are
Well, as my wife told
quickly.
you at the beginning, I'm not capable of short answers. I try my best, but I don't know, man. There's so much that needs to be talked about, Chris, and I just like having the ability to do it with you each week. It's an honor, a joy, and I think it'll be fun over the next few weeks and months to do this together. I think it's going to be crazy. So, we will have our time, but you know, as they say, be careful what you wish for, because I'm feeling it's going to get a little bit rocky, bumpy. And certainly interesting, as the Chinese curse says, may you live in interesting times. These are anything but dull. So look forward to picking up where we left off next week, brother.
Well, thank you, Andy, as always, for today's report. Hope you enjoyed that at home, and certainly a handful going on out there. And in either case, I did want to thank Silver Viper Minerals, who has brought us today's show. Obviously, we've had Steve Cope of Silver Viper on several times in the past year and beyond, and they are advancing their La Virginia project, which had an initial maiden resource estimate of 49 million ounces of silver equivalent. They've been wanting to get back out there and drill. Just wanted to give you an update on the financing. Basically, they did about half of the financing over these last two tranches. They're not going to be out drilling just yet, but hopefully going to be able to move forward with that in the coming months ahead. And certainly the Silver Rally is helping with that a little bit. So you can find out more about Silver Viper at silverviperminerals.com. We'll have Steve Cope back on June 10th. So, look forward to hearing from him about the latest, and going to wrap up for today, but hope you're doing well out there, and I will see you again tomorrow.